Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Picka from Michigan, and I hope everyone is doing well. And let's hope we have a great show lined up.
Yes, indeed. Last night was fire. It was brilliant. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the vibes was there and everything. And that intro song was from Bob Marley, One Drop. So if you want to look it up, it's on YouTube. It's on his best-selling album. Yeah, so today is Monday, December 12th, or December 11th, 2023, season 6, episode 16. Is there a generational divide in U.S. politics? When hasn't there been a generational divide when it came on to politics and pop culture influence in American history? Is this reality TV and famous for being famous influence of subculture ruining society? Rome wasn't built in a day, but it came crashing down in a spectacular fashion in record time. Every nation has their time on the world stage to shine and show who they are in every way. Do you think American influence and time as world leaders is coming to a dramatic end? Are we a society of excesses? Does greed fuel these excesses? Is it too late to change minds and hearts? What legacy are we leaving our future generations? Thank you for sharing across social media. You can call in at 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. And don't speak over the host or anyone who may be online at the time. Show some respect and be kind always. Failure to do so will mean immediate termination of your call. So glad you could join us on board tonight. Remember to visit our website, kitchenpolitics123.com. And Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show, we're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Okay, so the first thing on agenda tonight is the woman in Texas who the Supreme Court of Texas, the court granted her an abortion, and then the Attorney General, Ken Paxton, put a hole in it and everything. So her name is Kate Cox. And she is leaving the state to get an abortion after her fetus was given a fatal diagnosis. Move comes while Mrs. Cox has been awaiting decision from Texas Supreme Court about whether she would get allowed to get an abortion. And then, of course, you know that it's illegal in Texas to have an abortion under any circumstances and everything. This is a life and death situation for her, because if she do go through the baby will not survive more than 1 or 2 days, and it's detrimental to her health. She may die as well. So, you know, it's all well and good, you know, that, you know, she's gone out of state and crossed border to get an abortion to save her life and everything. And we're going to delve deep into it when we watch this video and hear this video about what's happening in the latest on it. We'll come back and talk about it.
Let's put you on the spot because we just got some other breaking news unrelated to Donald Trump. This is the case of Kate Cox. She is the woman in Texas who had a pregnancy that was almost certain in nearly every case. The fetus does not survive. And beyond that, puts her health at risk. She was first granted, allowed to have the abortion, then that got stayed. There was an urgency, obviously, to getting this done, but there was no ruling. So what we just learned is that after weeks of what her lawyers say are legal whiplash that have been hellish for her, she has decided to go out of state. That offers have been coming in from Kansas to Colorado to Canada. Having said that, does this case point to the need to clarify these new laws? And even if they aren't clarified now, to move quickly in the courts to make decisions on these kinds of very real world issues that are coming up time after time? Absolutely. And Chris, it also points to the fact that Kate Cox is few and far between, because she was not only able to secure representation by the Center for Reproductive Rights, but she was willing to go forward and public with her story at 31 years old with 2 children already, a person who wanted a big family. But the ambiguity is the point. That's why Ken Paxton threatened Ms. Cox, her doctors, and others with future prosecution, notwithstanding the fact that they had secured that order. And that's why Kate Cox ultimately decided to take matters into her own hand and leave the state. Millions of women throughout this country are looking for clarity, and like Kate Cox, many of them will not find it in time.
Yep, so you heard it right there, you know, the reviewing law. No, you should goddamn abolish that law, because it's everything against women. And, you know, what's your take on this, Lori?
I am so appalled by this. I feel so bad for this young mom, because I cannot imagine. She already has 2 children. You know, she was pregnant, and it's obvious that she wanted to be pregnant. And she has, you know, this medical condition. The baby has a medical condition. And they don't care. They don't care if she dies. All they care about is for her to not have an abortion. So if she were to do what the court wanted her to do, the Supreme Court wanted her to do, and that evil Ken Paxton, and she died, you know, giving birth, or if she just died because of what the baby's ill with, she could, it could help make her die, help her to die, you know, to die as well, then who's going to take care of her children? Her children would not have a mother. Do they think about that? Do they care about that? They're pro-life, but what about her children? Are her children supposed to not have a mom because they want her to carry a baby that's not going to live anyways? They said 99% of the time the baby doesn't make it. And she's had two C-sections, and that would complicate everything even worse. So I am happy that she left the state. I would never go back to that godforsaken state. But when she goes back, what are the consequences that she's going to face from this attorney general and the Supreme Court and, you know, the ruling in Texas? This is horrendous. It's bad enough that she's probably so upset, you know, as to what's happening to her as it is. It's a nightmare. She's been in the emergency room more than one time because she's sick. What is wrong with these people?
They don't know how pregnancy works and everything, and they just open their Bible and say, oh, abortion is wrong. And, you know, even though, you know, even though the woman is in grave danger of dying, you know?
Yes.
What is wrong with these Republicans? But anyway, I'm going to play our next video and everything. It's a one-minute video on the same case and everything. And we're going to start to take calls and everything. So Ken Paxton is such a moron and a buffoon. You know, he has no business being attorney general.
A Dallas woman who needs an emergency abortion is being forced to leave the state to get one.
That's according to the Center for Reproductive Rights, which is representing her. They say Kate Cox had to flee Texas after a week of legal limbo over the time-sensitive abortion. The 31-year-old mother of two testified remotely last week with her husband. Her doctors say her fetus has a deadly condition and continuing the pregnancy threatens her future fertility and she wants to have more children.
The idea that Ms. Cox wants desperately to be a parent and this law might actually cause her to lose that ability is shocking.
So how did we get here? Last Tuesday, Cox filed a lawsuit to get the emergency abortion since the state has strict abortion bans. Her case was heard on Thursday, where a state court ruled in her favor. But within hours, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton asked the Texas Supreme Court to block the order immediately, which is what happened on Friday. In Paxton's statement about the order, he threatened to prosecute any doctor, hospital, or person who helped in the abortion, which would be a $100,000 fine. Meanwhile, the Center for Reproductive Rights says Kate has been getting an outpouring of support and offers to help her from places like Kansas, Colorado, and Canada.
The organization says this past week, quote, has been hellish for Kate, whose health is on the line. She's been in and out of the emergency room and couldn't wait any longer. Adding, this is why judges and politicians should not be making health care decisions for pregnant people. They are not doctors.
I just want to say Ken Paxton got a degree. Is he a gynecologist? Is he a doctor? What the hell is happening? You know, Jesus Christ, this country is something.
Who does he think, you know, David, who does he think he is? He is not a doctor. He's an attorney general and a bad one at that. He has no heart. Now, if this was his daughter, his 31-year-old daughter that was in this woman's shoes, would he allow her to have an abortion or would he take the hard line? I think he would allow her to have the abortion. That's what I think. But if he didn't, this has no heart, no soul. He does not belong in government. This man should be kicked out of there and shoved out to the curb somewhere in Siberia. I am so angry with him.
And
angry.
It was he who was on trial the other day for corruption. And because the state legislature is predominantly Republican, he got off and everything.
Yes.
You know, so you know, fuck Texas. Jesus, I hate Texas. Just like I hate Florida. And we're going to talk about Arizona soon and Sharman running as a Libertarian for Congress. 515-605-9802, say your first name and where you're calling from. And we'll have a caller on the line. Hello. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking, Elaine?
I guess I'm the only one right now. That young lady in Texas, it having already C-sections makes other pregnancies risky.
Yeah.
Risky, very risky, and there's no words to explain the anger.
No,
this is wrong. This is totally wrong. She has two other children. She's been on TV. She asked for the sex of the baby. She know or the fetus, and she knows that it's a girl. And she has said she's already been mourning the loss. This is her personal decision. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all. He ought to... I don't know.
What right does the government have? You know,
no right. Absolutely none. Absolutely none.
And the family of her, and the future of her family and her children and her husband. What rights do they have? None in my eyes. Absolutely none.
And then she said the fact that she may become sterile is really weighing on her mind. It's devastating her.
Of course. And it's the whole situation is horrible. The whole situation is wrong. The whole situation is there. I have no words anymore because, like I said, from last week, I've been so mad about this and so upset because I know she's not the only one in this country that is suffering like this. She's not.
Mm-hmm.
And these women have their, have their hands full with these problems now because they don't want to, be charged with murder again. You know, she could risk her life not doing what the doctor says. The doctor is a trained professional. A politician knows nothing about her
case. But that's not murder. That is a fetus. It's not to the point where this fetus is not to the point where it can survive in the open.
No. Absolutely not.
And if they want to quote, if these religious right assholes want to point out things in the Bible, it says in the Bible, it is born, it is a baby when it takes its first breath.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this reinterpreting everything is getting on my nerves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know something? Yes. And you know something, ladies? I wish Texas cared as much about fixing the grid as it do about harassing this poor woman needing to end an unwanted pregnancy, you know?
Yeah.
There's this other case in Ohio, for example, where the mother was using the toilet and she had a miscarriage. And because of the opaque laws of Ohio, you know, she didn't know what to do, so she flushed the thing down the toilet. And now she's been charged with what, murder? Abuse of a corpse. Abuse of the corpse. You know, she's in jail now. Say that again, Lori.
How did they find out that happened?
Well,
the authorities.
The drain plugged when she flushed the toilets with the, you know, and so, you know, it's made national news. And it's as big as this Texas thing now and everything. You know, that may, you know, come after this Texas thing cool down. You know, I just don't understand these Republicans.
She had a miscarriage. She probably sat on the toilet, and that's when the miscarriage decided to be full-fledged.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yep.
I know they want to charge her for abuse of the corpse. That's not abuse. It's just
of course. Oh my
yes,
God.
Yes. That's how crazy that's it is.
Crazy in my life. What is happening?
I've been on different pages, and I really am getting sick and tired of hearing this particular comment. I want less government. Where in the hell is the less government?
No.
Where is it? You know, to tell you what, to have a miscarriage and look inside that toilet and see a mass of what, it's not pretty. You really don't know what you're looking at. Your body is going through a trauma, and you
mm-hmm.
reach up and you hit the plunger, and it flushes. That is.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting to be ridiculous. What if she had an outhouse? Would she have to go down in the hole and pick it out?
Yeah. Knowing their thinking, probably yes. 515-605-9802 is the number you call.
Right.
Say first name and where you call. Yeah, 515-605-9802 is the number you call. Say first name and where you're calling from. We have another caller from Michigan. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Oh, nothing much, but I'm really pissed about all this stuff. This is Sue from Michigan.
Hi,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's she supposed to do? Fish out the fetus and all the blood and everything in the toilet? I mean,
mm-hmm.
give me a break.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
like Elaine said about big government, they're in your bedroom, they're in your toilet, they're in your doctor's office.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
This
mm-hmm.
I don't recognize our country anymore.
Don't either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember when they were protesting and trying to get abortion rights and what the women went through for
mm-hmm.
centuries.
Yeah.
And yet,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then now they're taking it away. We should know better by now, don't you think, in 2023?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
what
yeah.
is with this? And they keep on talking the Constitution. The first thing is separation of church and state. If you don't want abortion,
mm-hmm.
don't have it. Don't put this poor
exactly.
woman through hell. She can go
yeah.
to another state. What about the poor people that can't? They're going to die? That's
yep.
what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to die. And they won't
yeah.
have
mm-hmm.
another baby that they want.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And Susan and Lynn, you know something? You know something?
Life.
Like, after the, suppose, for argument's sake, that the baby is born and everything, deformed and going to die anyway. After the baby is mm-hmm. born, they don't give a damn about this woman, Miss Cox, and her family.
No.
You know,
it's
all out, like, have our way or it's no way at all. You know, and they're
yeah.
threatening her with jail. They're threatening this woman. Well, in Ohio, they put the woman in jail. She's a black woman, very poor and everything. You know, and... to make these laws, isn't it entrenched in the Ohio Constitution recently in the midterm elections, or not the midterm elections, but the 2023 elections that went by,
mm-hmm.
that it's a woman's body, so it's her choice, so they were enshrined in the Constitution. And it wasn't even an abortion,
yeah.
it was a miscarriage. It's not the woman's fault. You know, I wish these
no.
Republicans would understand, you know, science, but, you know, they don't believe in science. I think is a liberal hoax, you know.
Yes.
And these poor women, what women go through in this country because of Republicans, I can't understand why, you know, any woman would vote Republican because, you know, Republican Party disrespect women, they hate women, you know, do everything in their power to keep women barefoot and pregnant and uneducated and not having the same pay for equal work. You know, what the hell? I don't recognize America anymore. And this Roe versus Wade thing, that the decision was in 1973. I was born in 1974. I don't know what the fight and the struggle was. But, you know, I'm for it because, you know, give women autonomy over a body. Give women equality. You know, that's what I'm
about.
What about
little children that are pregnant? You know, they got raped little kids, you know, 12,
yeah.
13, you know.
Yeah.
And they make them go have a baby? Give me a break. I mean,
yeah.
they're little kids. They're, you know, having this big thing growing in them. They don't understand what the hell is going on. They're traumatized
mm-hmm.
for life.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
they are.
Mm-hmm.
I really think one of the things that should be done, but there's so much going on, it would be hard to organize anything right now. We've got to worry about our country going to hell in a basket, is for the women to all band together and demand mandatory vasectomies. Once you would do that, once you would have protests, hundreds and thousands of women in the street demanding that, I think you might start having them shut their mouths and leave it alone.
Well, starting with Johnson in the House, he'd be the first to go.
Yeah, he would be the first to go. And it's pretty darn obvious that this is another tactic to control. Women are strong, and the Republican men know they have to do something to control the women. So they have to control them.
Plus,
they've got to keep them stupid and at home.
Yeah, but also, they don't give out, birth control either. You know, they keep that, but they give out, Viagra and stuff for men. But do women get the, and it costs so much. And then this poor woman, she goes in the hospital, she's paying for all those medical bills. And if her kid even lives for a little bit in ICU, you know, NIC unit, that costs a fortune. Who's going to pay for that?
This is just one of the many examples that illustrate how utterly ridiculous and stupid Texas's draconian anti-abortion law is, and how state officials, first and foremost Attorney General Ken Paxton, are making women suffer in order to advance their political agenda. Only good thing that is coming out of this current case is that the country is paying attention, and that Americans, especially women, understand what the story or what's in store for them if the Republican Party have their own way.
We got to hit the streets. We got to hit the streets again. You know, the pink hats and walk down the streets and get in their face and tell them to go to hell.
And how can a woman know after 15 weeks that she's pregnant? You know?
You don't.
Some don't know. You know, they know.
Well, there's been cases where a woman has gone full term and didn't know.
Yeah.
They were surprised. Yeah, especially heavy women that have problems every month, you know, a lot of cramps and things. Yeah. And where the placenta grows on the outside. I forget the name of that. That's a real issue, too, you know.
Yeah.
I don't understand. This is absolutely ridiculous.
And then we have, Speaker of the House that made this statement. Every American woman has a duty to birth at least one able-bodied worker. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House. What kind of a statement is that?
Ridiculous.
Nazi statement.
Exactly.
To have one able-bodied, and if it's a girl, then she better have another one so it can be a boy so it can go in the service.
Able-bodied worker. That is his statement.
Yeah, that's Nazis.
That is disgusting, to say the least. And this is what we have. And this is what we have right now. This is what we're dealing with. These insane people, these insane men that are so far to the right, and they're so embedded in their so-called Christianity that they're out of control, totally out of control. And I don't know how we're going to turn this around in this country unless people, like I say every single time, better wake up. You better vote, better get registered. You have to vote blue. You have to vote. Even if you don't like President Biden, it doesn't matter. If you want your rights back, if you, these women want to be able to have an abortion, if they need it or just want it, That is why you have to vote Democrat. It is just the way that it is. These other people are extremists. They don't mm-hmm. care about life. They only care about power and telling people what to do, and they don't care if they hurt anyone, if they hurt their family, their mothers, their fathers, their kids. They don't care as long as their agenda goes through. That is it.
What? And that goes to everything from school board on up.
Yep.
What these women have to remember, they might be in a household that their male is telling them how to vote. What they must remember, that in the privacy of the voting booth, they can do the right thing. And then they can come out of that voting booth and tell them, I voted.
And that's it.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if they don't do that, they are losing all their rights.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have a clip.
That
here
is the only way they can get back at the abuser that they're living with.
Yeah.
Yes. I have a clip here of Speaker Johnson questioning a female doctor, and he was trying to mansplain, you know, something, and it backfired tremendously. Listen to it.
Top story.
Okay.
During a House Judiciary hearing on Wednesday, Johnson had a controversial exchange with Dr. Yashika Robinson. Dr. Robinson is an OBGYN and doctor of the Alabama's Women's Wellness Center in Huntsville.
Okay, let me ask you, do you support the right of a woman who is just seconds away from birthing a healthy child to have an abortion?
I think that the question that you're asking does not realistically reflect abortion care.
In that scenario, would you support her right to abort that child?
I won't entertain theoreticals.
It's not a theoretical,
not
ma'am. You're a medical doctor.
I am a medical doctor, and that has never happened.
Never happened in your practice, ma'am, but it happened.
Oh,
the administrator for the Hope Medical Group for Women in Shreveport says Johnson's comments were, quote, meant to agitate. No physician would commit homicide as he is suggesting. You can watch the full exchange on our website, ktlnews.com.
Yeah, see, that's so crazy and stupid and out of touch.
Yeah.
You know, there are, you know, which woman in their right mind would be giving birth and then want to abort the baby in the middle of giving birth?
Yeah.
That don't make any sense.
It doesn't happen. It's ridiculous. It never happens. He's full of shit.
No. I want to see the paperwork and the proof, you piece of crap, Mike Johnson. And not only that, what woman in their right mind would go through the pain of labor, Mike Johnson, because you don't even know what that is, and then have an abortion? Really? Come on.
How can you have an abortion and a birth at the same time? It doesn't even make any freaking sense.
Oh, God, no.
Mm-hmm.
But I have,
you know, because Trump keeps saying it.
I have seen the fake produced movies where they claim that the forceps are put in the back of the baby's neck and they cut the baby's cord, the neck cord, the
right.
What do you call it?
Umbilical.
The spine.
Oh, the
spine. I have seen the fake movies. Did you ever notice that when you go to a fair and they have the woman's uterus, they have a 9-month-old baby, one ready to be born inside of that little plastic thing? They don't have a fetus.
Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's all fakery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, these Republicans don't know what they're talking about. They're not medical doctors. They're not gynecologists. But, hey, the Bible says that's the fallback.
The Bible
thing.
Doesn't
It's ridiculous.
Say. The Bible
yeah, exactly,
doesn't
but
say
want
anything
justify,
about
they
it.
They want to justify their beliefs because based on the Bible, you know, women shouldn't have abortion, blah, 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 and all that nonsense, you know. I don't know what way come out of this, but I hope Ms. Cox, you know, get the Medicare care she need. That is urgent, you know, and can move on from this and having less draconian laws and protect women, you know, because this is nonsense. And it shows that the Republican Party don't really care about women's rights and women's equality and what she does with her body. It's her body, so it's her choice, you know.
That's
and
right.
How many
okay, we move
more
on
women?
Now.
mm-hmm. many poor women can't leave the state and are mm-hmm. stuck, and they might die.
Exactly.
And that, you know, and if their baby's born, it's going to have horrible things wrong with it, costing a fortune mm-hmm. that they don't have.
Is the state of Texas going to pay for that? Hell no.
No, of course not. Why would they?
That's what I'm saying.
The woman panics and self-inflicts a procedure mm-hmm. on herself, and then she dies anyways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bleeds to death.
Yeah.
That's the way it mm-hmm. used to be before the 70s, or when was abortion rights, late 60s, the early 70s? That became
I think
mm-hmm.
it was 1974.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what
that's
they used to do, back alleys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so Trump rioter, the QAnon shaman, was interviewed by David Pakman recently, and his name is Jacob Chansley. He's known as a QAnon shaman. He was a convicted felon for his participation in January 6th, you know, Trump riots, and he joined David Pakman to discuss his crimes, his beliefs, his new campaign for public office in Arizona. As we all know by now, he's running for Congress as a Libertarian, and that was all over the place, that interview. You know, and David Pakman mm-hmm. is a good interviewer, but as you know, these right-wing lunatics want to, you know, want to control the narrative and everything. And mm-hmm. there's a 22-minute thing, but I'm going to play bits and pieces of it. And come back, and we're going to talk about the shaman man running for Congress. You know, imagine if a crazy person like him, you know, first of all, he's a felon, so he can't vote, but yet still he can run for office. That makes no sense. So here it is.
Program Jake Angeli Chansley, who's a spiritual activist, shamanic practitioner, published author, entrepreneur, known to many in our audience, I'm sure, as the Q Shaman or QAnon Shaman. He was convicted and served some time for his role in the January 6th Trump riots, which I am sure we will also talk about. I really appreciate your time and you being here.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I think it's more like the deep state setup riots than Trump riots. I don't think Trump had people do that. I think it was more likely that the feds and the crowd and Antifa and BLM were largely responsible, and the police throwing tear gas and concussion grenades into a peaceful crowd, that probably has something to do with it too.
Well, hold on, let's go through piece by piece, because we have plenty of time to get to everything if we just do it sequentially. So in court, through your lawyers, as I reviewed the records, to some degree you made the case that you were there because of Trump, right? So I'm interested in this conflict between clearly Trump did motivate you to be there, but also you're saying it was Antifa and the FBI, but aren't you evidence that that's not the case, Jake?
Well, my previous lawyer misrepresented me in pretty much every single way.
Ah,
so,
you denounced the arguments made by your lawyer.
Well, yeah, on a number of different occasions. He said things that I never asked him to say. I never felt duped by Trump. Never said that. I'm not mentally ill, not bipolar, schizophrenic, you know, delusional, or, you know, depressed. None of that's true.
Okay, so your view as of today, regardless of the argument that was made in court, is that the events of January 6th were carried out by, tell me which groups it was again?
Well, it's actually, if you look at it objectively, and you look at the setup that was very clearly there from a very early stage prior to January 6th, what you're going to find is that largely the party responsible would be people like Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, Yogananda Pittman, Mark Milley in the Pentagon, Christopher Wray in the FBI, and people in Antifa and BLM. Mm-hmm.
How do you know that any of that is true? What evidence do you have, for example, that Nancy Pelosi was involved in what happened that day?
Well, because if you look into the testimony of former Capitol Police Chief Sun, he had his emergency powers revoked by Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell prior to the January 6th events, and they had to go. He had to go through them in order to deploy the National Guard. And when he gave the written request for National Guard to be present, they denied it because it would be bad optics and there was lack of evidence.
Yes, yeah, so let me just pause it right there. He says that Nancy Pelosi and the minority leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, you know, suppressed Donald Trump and took away the right for him to call the National Guard. That's a goddamn bald-faced lie.
Of course it is.
And anybody who would believe that need a head examine. She tried to contact Trump and say, here what, you have the power to stop this, send out the National Guard. And Trump ignored our calls. Totally ignored it. Mitch McConnell tried the same thing, ignored it. Why? Because it was all about Trump and his people, and for Chancellor to say, oh, you know, it was a peaceful protest. What was peaceful about it? The gouged the eyes out of police officers, you know, the murdered police officers, the bear sprayed police officers and everything. What is this joker talking about, really? Seriously.
And they got it on video, right? Everything was televised. Yeah. And when Nancy Pelosi was stuck in there, you know, they were locked in downstairs with the other senators and stuff, her daughter was taking video of her trying to call
That's
people for help and get, you know, help and, you know, and this idiot doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He's just lying.
They were trying to murder, Nancy Pelosi and the then Vice President Mike Pence, you know, and Mike Pence. You know, the Secret Service said, hey, jump in the car, we'll protect you. And Mike Pence said, no, I know you, and you're a Trump loyalist. I don't know you, so I don't know where I'm going. For all I know, you could be wanting to kill me, you know? So Mike Pence made a right move on everything by not going into that limousine. And he also made a right move in trying to certify the election results and everything. And people like the Missouri senator, Josh Hawley, you know, he was throwing, pumping his fists and, like, waving to the crowd and everything. And he was one of the one who ran like a little scared bitch when the storm the Capitol finally. You know, I mean, Ben Johnson and Carl Lewis couldn't catch, you know, Senator Hawley the way he was running so fast. You know, so for Sharma to say, oh, you know, it wasn't Donald Trump's fault, it was Pelosi fault and Mitch McConnell's fault for not bringing out the National Guard. It's false, you know. It's ridiculous. But let's continue with this.
It was in a tent somewhere, and they were drinking champagne, and they were watching the people gathering, and they were having a party about all the people gathering to take over the government.
That's right.
Why is this Sharman guy out of jail? He belongs in prison. And never have a microphone in his face, that's for sure. He's just spewing garbage.
Trump started to run for president when President Obama was elected because Trump already was feeding the narrative that the election is rigged. He did that I can't think of his name.
Mitt Romney
lost, Trump made public statements that it was rigged, and Romney should do something about it. And Romney let the process go the way it's supposed to go, honest and fair. But Trump already started back then.
Yep.
Also, and started the narrative about crooks and government when he didn't win his award for the Apprentice.
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly.
So he's been working on the public. He's been working on his base quite a few years. We've got a job to do, and people out there, you had better start listening. This man has been working on this since approximately 2012.
Yep,
exactly. So let's continue this interview. Go ahead, Lori.
I just wanted to say, for those that don't know who he is the one that was all, he had the horns on. He had the horns on. His face His face was all painted in red, white, and blue. He didn't have a jacket on, and it was winter time. I don't know who this is.
Oh, he's the one where mommy got upset that he wasn't getting the proper food?
Yes. He's the one.
Yes.
He's the one that in prison wanted organic food, by the way. Yes. And
yeah.
He was having a party.
And he got it. And he got it.
Yes, I know,
you know?
He did. It's sickening.
Yeah, because mommy insisted. His mommy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sickening. Anyway, for those who didn't know who he was, that's who it is.
Yeah, and then Congresswoman Lauren Boebert from Colorado was texting the exact whereabouts and location of Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats. You know, why isn't she kicked out of Congress? But anyway, let's go on with this this interview.
But the evidence was all there. He was just not given the evidence by Yogananda Pittman, by the FBI, and by the Pentagon. And that's according to his own testimony. That's also according to the testimony of former Capitol Police Lieutenant Tarek Johnson.
Yeah, I've reviewed their testimony and was not able to find that. It's sort of beyond the scope of this interview to look at it line by line. I guess big picture, Jake, why do you think that parties that supported Joe Biden would try to interfere with Joe Biden being made president? Why would they do that? It seems counterproductive, doesn't it?
Well, the thing is what you have to understand is that it was about creating a setup so that a PSYOP may ensue and the weaponization of the Justice Department, the DOJ, could then be used to go after Trump and his supporters.
But that's
it's
just
about,
a word salad, Jake. It doesn't address the crux of the question,
salad.
Does it?
No, it does. It does.
How?
And just allow me to address it. So because of the events of January 6th, there have been multitudes, thousands of Trump supporters that have been labeled domestic terrorists. And
because they showed up and committed crimes, though, right?
Well,
or you're saying
they
were tricked into doing so?
But with respect, David, that's not the same thing as committing acts of domestic terrorism in the way that there has been acts of domestic terrorism committed, say, for over 200 days all over the country during the 2020 riots by Antifa and BLM, who claimed in their own on their own website that they wanted to overthrow the American capital.
That's a non sequitur. I have to interrupt, Jake, because what you have to understand is, imagine that I was accused of attempted murder. It is of no importance whatsoever if a year prior someone else somewhere else also tried to kill someone. I can't use that as my defense. And what you're saying is that part of the defense of what the people on January 6th did is your perception of what BLM did a year earlier. That's not a valid defense.
No. What I'm saying, dude, is this.
Okay.
What we're talking about here is optics, okay? And they tried to make me, in particular, look as bad as humanly possible. They used all sorts of trigger words and trigger images to put a label on me and many other Trump supporters to circumvent our constitutional rights and to basically centralize power and use the levers of power in government to go after their political opponents.
Okay, let me ask you a real practical question about that. You're talking about being designated domestic terrorist. I want to be super specific here because I really want to understand your view on this. These cases like yours were federal cases. There is no official designation of domestic terrorism by the U.S. federal government. So who labeled you as such and where?
The Mockingbird media did all over the news, number one. And number two, are you telling me that when, say, the government is designating institutions like, say, the Proud Boys or the Oath Keepers as domestic terrorist groups, or anybody for that matter that was flying into D.C., I don't know if you're aware, but anybody that flew into D.C. in early January of 2021 is now being followed around by the U.S. Marshals on airplanes.
That's not true.
And there are no U.S. Marshals on the FAA, the airplanes all across
Jake,
the country because of this label.
You're doing.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Why is this idiot running for Congress? What is it? Somebody explain to me.
He's a word. You know, he said it properly. He uses word salad. He doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
He spins everything that he says. He's good at that.
Mm-hmm.
I have to give him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all bullshit.
Yeah, there's
and
no
Trump
such thing as a chief Antifa. No, nobody ever heard of it. They made it up.
And for him to say that that federal officers are on planes from early January looking for people like him, that's false, because remember 9/11 happened, the shoe bombing happened. From then, which was years ago, that's when federal officers were put in plain sight on different airlines to say, just in case a crazy person try to blow the plane up or try to hijack the plane, then they're there to bring them down. You know, so Jake Chensley, I have no idea what he's talking about, saying that, they're being persecuted by federal officers and federal agents and, you know, going around the country following them. That's nonsense.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Everything he said was nonsense.
And for somebody like him to dress up like a cow or a bull with horns and war paint and everything in the middle of January when it's freezing, there's something mentally wrong with you, don't you think?
No.
Everybody else was padded. Everybody else was padded and wearing layers of clothes, but he was with his little spear and his little hat with horns and, you know, screaming bullshit.
Like a crazy.
Right.
And he
exactly.
was to have fun. He was not
he
there
went
to
there
have
to
fun.
Be center of attention and be on the
news. For sure. You know,
well, there are consequences living in your mama's basement, you know, and not getting your own way when you come out for a riot. That was, you know, what's the word for it? That unpatriotic. But let's play a final clip, and then we'll move on to the crux of the matter tonight's show about the generational gap with voting and politics.
Made it in that way by the DOJ. That Vogel has heard your opinion.
Heard
mine.
What about the terrorism enhancements that are being placed on their plea deals? Are you telling me that that isn't a classification?
There just is no such classification. If you want to give me a specific case, Jake, hold on.
These terrorism enhancements on their plea deal.
I would be glad to look at that and blame anyone other than yourself for inducing, entrapping, or goading you into doing what you did on that day.
Not at all.
Just plain and simple. You don't blame anybody else.
No, I take full responsibility for my actions.
Okay. When it comes to some of the views that you have been associated with, I've seen, again, and this is from things your lawyer has said, so you tell me if you don't agree, that you have distanced yourself from, like, the QAnon shaman stuff. You don't consider yourself a follower of QAnon? Like, is that true?
Well, QAnon is a label and a straw man created by the Mockingbird Media, and they called me QAnon shaman and have the audacity to say that's what I called myself. So
what I'm asking you is just about the views, not the label.
Well, dude, that really all depends on what you think Q views are. What do you think Q views are?
I think the biggest overriding view is that there is a sort of conspiracy of child abuse and pedophilia that is carried out by so-called elites, the deep state, and Democrats, which Donald Trump was chosen by God to become president and then stop.
Okay, so I don't necessarily agree with all of that, but if you look into Jeffrey Epstein and what he was doing, if you look into the Finders, if you look into the Franklin cover-up, if you look into the testimony of Ronald Bernard, if you look into the Barney Frank scandal, if you look into the Michael Aquino military-based scandals, if you look into the numerous scandals that are coming out now regarding all these people that debunked Pizzagate, and now they're being arrested and charged with child porn charges and child abuse charges, then it's quite clear that there is some sort of an elite sex trafficking pedophilia ring.
He's making
in
shit
DC,
up.
In Hollywood, if you look into the testimony of Sherry Feldman, if you look into the testimony of a lot of these young people that were groomed in Hollywood and raped at young ages, then it's quite clear that there is some sort of elite child sex trafficking going on.
So you do believe that? No, I've not seen any evidence of that whatsoever.
So I just gave you all of these facts. I just gave you all these things that you can look
facts.
Up. And if you don't look it up, you're not going to be diligent as a journalist.
Well, we can look up.
So this is what's called the setting small fires conundrum, okay? I have investigated Pizzagate and QAnon to a degree that I think is completely reasonable and have looked at some but not all of the things you just mentioned. The thing that becomes difficult is you are extremely skeptical of accepting any official source for any claim. But at the same time, you argue that if I'm not familiar with every proverbial small fire that you've just set, that certainly what you're saying must be true, even though you're also not citing any sources for these things. It's tough to have a real conversation when someone does that, you know?
Well, look into the government website on the finders. This has been declassified. CIA was trafficking children for satanic ritual abuse, keeping them in cages. They were abducting children off the street, and this was, well, the whistle was blown by the
FBI. I'll look into that. This other stuff, which is
give me a break, David.
Okay. Hey, so they're now running for a congressional seat. Talk to me about what is the platform? What are you bringing to the table? Why would you be a good member of Congress?
Because I'm actually going to represent the American people. The first four things that I'm going to introduce to the House floor is a single bill voting law, an amendment for term limits for congressmen and staff, a criminalization of lobbying, and seven-figure fines, expulsion, and prosecution for insider trading. And believe me, there's a much longer list to go along with that, but those are the first four things I intend to do.
Do you think that your criminal past is going to be useful or maybe hurtful in this campaign?
Well, the fact of the matter is I don't have a criminal past. I have
one crime I've ever committed in my life.
And no, I don't think it's going to be a hindrance whatsoever.
Why not? Don't you think that it's something that may make people say, well, hold on a second. Is this the sort of person we want representing us?
Well, you know, considering that all the people that are, quote, unquote, representing the American people right now are probably criminals themselves, considering all the insider trading and all the cocaine and orgies that, and all the hookers that they hire, then, you know, I probably don't see that is going to be a problem at all.
All right. Well, we're going to follow it with interest. A couple of other things I want to talk about, you know, I don't want to simply and flippantly ascribe the label conspiracy theorist to you, because it can sometimes be a label that just stops conversation, and I want to have a conversation. But I do want to ask you about some other beliefs and see sort of like what is the network of beliefs. You've talked to us a little bit about QAnon. It has been said by prosecutors that you believe you are an alien or a higher being of some kind. Is that true? Is that a belief you hold?
As a shamanic practitioner, I have a hyperdimensional consciousness that stretches far beyond the bounds of my physical body.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, do you know what a bodhisattva is?
What is happening in America?
That
people may follow, yeah.
Well, kind of. It's a spiritual being that attains a certain level of enlightenment but reincarnates over and over again consciously until all of humanity is enlightened and brought into an ascended level of consciousness. I am a bodhisattva.
All right, so it sounds like you do believe you are a higher being of sorts.
Well, I think we all have the capacity to be, quote-unquote, higher beings. I think we all are higher beings. I'm just more conscious of it than others.
Fair. When it comes to vaccination, I read, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you were discharged from the military for refusing an anthrax vaccination. I'm curious, are you, assuming that's true, and you'll tell me if it's not, are you against all vaccines or only certain ones?
Well, what I'm against is trusting people that have openly espoused their eugenic beliefs to manufacture vaccines for the mass populations of the planet. And considering the Rockefeller family and considering people like Bill Gates, who are behind a lot of these vaccines, are admitted eugenicists, I don't trust them one little bit at all to give me or anybody a vaccine.
So it's not that you reject the science of vaccination as a principle, the inoculation. You just don't like who's making the vaccines because you believe that they have genocidal goals? I've researched it. Tell me where I'm wrong.
I'll debate you on it right now.
I'm sorry, you said you're not equipped to debate me on that right now.
No. What I'm saying is that because of our time constraints, dude, I'll argue into the ninth hour, but, you know, our time constraints won't allow it.
But what you're – to be clear, I'm saying – pieces of dead babies are not an ingredient in the vaccines. You're saying that they are.
No, what I'm saying is dead fetal tissue, as in cells from dead babies.
Tissue, right.
Okay,
it's part of a dead baby.
And that also goes into our food. That goes into our food as well. So
oh
it's like,
my God,
well,
he's
not.
Turn it off.
You can't deny it.
Yeah. We've listened to enough. I think the listeners have suffered long enough and everything. You know, I think we've found a new
How
CDC.
Ridiculous. He belongs in a loony bin in a rubber room.
Yeah, I think we've found Trump's new CDC director. God forbid he wins the presidency in 2024. This man is out of his fucking mind. You know, that's another thing to swallow about vaccines, you know, about he being a shaman and like a higher being and everything. It's just weird. And we're having aborted baby in our food.
Trump did to Dr. Fauci.
Mm-hmm.
He was given death threats. He's he has to go places incognito because of Trump in the swamp.
Uh huh.
That's why.
You know what?
When you run
for
office, you should have a background check and a mental test because we don't want crazy idiots and criminals being in office.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Green and Boebert and at idiot Santos. Why didn't, how did, could they get into, I mean, your work, you work for a company. They do background checks. They check your resume.
Mm-hmm.
Why
mm-hmm.
can't that at least be done for our government?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My God. My God, that was the most insane interview I've ever listened to in my life, and I think I need a drink after the show to get over it. That was weird.
I'm drinking right now.
No, I'm not allowed to drink under, because you know, alcohol open your mind and your mouth. You know, you can't take certain things back. I wish I could really say what I really think about Republicans on the show, but I think the Men in Black would like come knocking on my door and everything. Oh, my God. Whew, that was insane.
He was talking
about Khalil from the Commonwealth.
His inner being. Well, you
Hello.
Know, when you have an operation and you're finally coming to, I guess we've all experienced that one.
You know, hello, Khalil from the Commonwealth of Virginia. What's cooking tonight?
I'm doing okay. How you doing?
Good,
oh, well, I'm just reeling from what I just heard. The shaman interview.
Yeah, and like everybody wants to make BLM and not everybody, but a lot of people want to make BLM and Antifa the fall guy because
but
they
there's
just
no
don't agree.
Antifa. Antifa don't exist. That's the thing.
It doesn't even real. There is no such thing as Antifa.
They want to make BLM.
Antifa stands for anti-fascism. That's what it stands.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There's no such group.
They want to make BLM the fall guy, which I should say, you know, because anytime you do something that the right doesn't agree with, they want to make you a bad person.
They want to cancel you immediately. And they always talk about cancel culture, but yet still they love canceling people. You know, I don't think the Black Lives Matter BLM is a bad organization per se.
Right.
I mean, every organization is not perfect, but you know, compared to the Oath Keepers and compared to the Proud Boys and the Boogaloos or whatever you call them, you know, they're saying compared to these idiots on the right, you know.
Yeah. And the thing that made me mad is a lot of these bad guys, because like you said, you got bad guys in every group, and it's the same thing. You got bad guys in every race. You know, they can't hold BLM responsible if a black man does these bad things to police officers. They can't hold BLM responsible. They can just hold that person that did it responsible.
Exactly.
Whatever they've done.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
And I really called out Alex for that, Alex Jones for that, because like I was saying, for him, he doesn't want gun control except for the law enforcement, and he makes up conspiracies when it benefits himself, but he didn't make a conspiracy out of this, and he just wanted to blame BLM. That's the only reason he admitted it was real. I mean, because this is the same man that does not want police to have equal amounts of rifles and all that stuff, even SWAT and detectives and special agents. He doesn't want them to have equal amounts of firepower like the civilians do. But let's say someone wants gun control. He acts so all stupid. I mean, I've seen how he acted on Pierce Morgan's show. And the hardcore right-wing Alex Jones supporters were just talking about Pierce. They weren't talking about Alex. They were like, Pierce this, Pierce that. And it's like, haven't you seen how Alex acted over something that he's not consistent over? You know, so, I mean, basically, besides the conspiracy at when they came to Sandy Hook, I lost respect for him as well as far as, you know, BLM was concerned, as far as his consistencies on guns. Those were the two reasons I lost respect for him. It's like BLM is just the fall guy nowadays.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to talk more now about the generation gap and is there a generational divide in U.S. politics? I'm sure that the greatest generation, the World War II generation, thought baby boomers were nuts. Same like baby boomers think that the Generation X, where I'm from, are nuts. And as soon as we go down and go down, every generation think the next generation, there's something loose in head about them. You know, so, you know, this thing where the information age is helping people get informed. Generation Z and millennials are very good with, you know, getting information from various sources, and especially the social media. And they're upset with baby boomers now and everything because baby boomers basically, or some of them, not all, can't generalize. When Reagan came in 1980, it turned to me generation basically, you know, and they were all about themselves and yuppies and, you know, say, hey, I'm for me now, to hell with everybody else. And that's why we're where we are today. So give me your perspective, Lori. Do you think there can be a bridging of the generation gaps between Generation Y and millennials with baby boomers?
And Gen Z as well. Gen Z is the youngest
and
one.
Gen Z.
It all depends on the candidate. If you're talking about a candidate running for an office like President Biden, he has to find a way to reach these different generations. He has to find a way to talk to them in terms of the things that are important to them, like the issues that are important. Like I know that Gen Z and the millennials, climate change, and the abortion issues are very important. College debt is very important to them, which President Biden has been very hard to help them with. Those are the kinds of things I think that they need to touch on so that each generation has something that they can grab onto and be able to say, yes, that's my candidate because he cares about what I think about, what I care about, what I want to do. So, yes, it's a possibility. It's absolutely a possibility. Just because you're 70, 80 years old does not mean that you cannot understand what a young person is going through in their life right now. You know, of course you can. You can see it. You can read about it. You can talk to them. You can look at their social media, you can hear what they're saying and what's important to them. Absolutely you can. And I know that there are Gen Zers that are all for President Biden. I follow them on Instagram. And they found a way to support him because they understand what he's about and what his passions are and what he cares about. And so, yes, you can do that, absolutely, without a problem. But you have to know how to communicate it. And that's what's important. You have to have a way. And that's what I've been saying all along. President Biden needs a team out there because of his age. I'm not saying that he can't do it, but he can't do it by himself. So he needs a team out there that will speak to these different generations and tell them, look, President Biden would like to help you with college debt. President Biden would like to help you with care. President Biden would like to help you with abortion issues. These are what, and you know, these are the things that we that they should be doing. And I think eventually it'll come out, but not fast enough for me.
I know. He did every one of those things, you know, and, but they're not publicizing it enough. You know, that's what scares me, that the word isn't getting out there. And most of these kids are on social media, so they pick up a lot of crap, too, and don't know what the real facts are, like that loony thing we just listened to, you know. And they just have to get it out more, because he has helped infrastructure, climate change, getting the minimum wage up. He got more jobs going than ever before, you know. All the things that affect these kids, and, you know, they're still not understanding what he's doing, and that has to be put out there. And compare him to the other idiot, you know, the orange monster, the difference between the two.
Communication.
Keep on saying these people that they interview, oh, Trump did a lot for us. I want them to tell me what exactly he did outside of raising the debt by giving a tax break to the rich. Outside of that, I don't get it.
Yeah,
Go ahead, Khalil.
If you talk about, like, basically good policing and mutual respect between not only police and civilian, but young and old, both generations and both both types of people, like just revamping, you know, like reforming the police department. That's another thing that a lot of young people and a lot of older people like to do is, you know, basically reform the police department, because it's not only is it a racial gap with law enforcement and certain people, but it's also a generational gap. And basically, when you have law enforcement officers in schools, they're tough, but they're fair most of the time. And more law enforcement in schools, and more law enforcement, they need to talk to every generation about getting more law enforcement to basically young people together. Because if you ever look at things, like anywhere there's a lot of young people, you got a lot of law enforcement present. I don't know if anybody knows that, but malls, beaches, even urban settings, even where I live, you have where you have not only African Americans and Latinos, but when you have a lot of young people or even poor people, you're going to have that law enforcement presence. So basically, you know, breaking it down, like, just, man, refurbish or something like that between the police and the young people and every generation. So every generation should respect the police, but every police officer should be nice to everybody in every generation. Because sometimes even, like, people will say, people will use, like, say, I'm not a child. I give you, you give me respect back. I'm like, even if you, even let's say the person is, like, let's say I'm a teenager. I'm not a teenager. If I give the police officer respect, they should give it back to me. It shouldn't be just because of my whatever. And that's how it is with everybody. It needs to be like law enforcement and things like that, and not, you know, seeing younger people as not human, seeing older people as not.
I think the reason why police officers have a hard job, but the reason why they may not respect millennials and people of that generation is because I think they're spoiled and given everything, and they're entitled, they act entitled. But so too were baby boomers back in the 1980s, you know?
Right.
So each generation, the previous generation before them, think they're entitled, they're spoiled, you know, they're owed something, you know? But look at this case in Alabama, for example. The police officer has been since suspended with desk duty. She should have been fired. I don't know if you ladies and Khalil heard about it, where it was a traffic stop and she handcuffed him and put him over the hoodie of her car, and he was answering all her questions and cooperating, but yet still this police officer, this female police officer, tasered the hell out of him, you know?
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
He was from like a younger generation. I mean, what more do you want from millennials and Generation Z, you know, when things like that happen? I think that's where the conflict is. You know, there's no proper police training to say, hey, you know, this guy
cooperating. That's a big problem. Training, you know, they should have to go through training, you know, at least once a year. You know, they should have to have training. It's just like every profession. In the profession I was in, I had to go through training every year. I mean, you just do because things change. And, you know, policies change and, you know, everything. But, you know, that's crazy. And why was he tasered? If he was in handcuffs and he was leaned over, why was he tasered? Why?
Yeah, it's bad. But also, the worst thing is he said, oh, yeah. The worst thing is she said, oh, yeah, when she was tasering him. That was the worst thing she said.
Yeah.
Why?
This power trip that she was on.
That's
crazy. It was disgusting. Yeah.
Should not be a police officer. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This shouldn't be one.
Yeah.
You know, why would you be to do that to somebody? I can see if you're trying to protect yourself or if, if the suspect was being irrational or trying to, attack or something, but doesn't sound like was the case, then you should not be a police officer.
Exactly. They need to get rid of the bad apples.
Yeah.
You know, there's so few of them because most of the cops are great guys. They work hard. They put their life on the line every day.
Yep.
And then you get these crazies that do stupid shit like that, you know, putting your knee on somebody's neck and crap like that or shooting up a building and without knocking, and the poor people don't know what the hell's going on, and they come out, they get a gun, and then they shot that poor EMT. It wasn't her fault. She didn't do anything. It was the cop's fault.
Right.
Get rid of the cops. Keep the good ones.
Was,
get rid of the bad ones. No excuse.
Get rid of them.
The problem is also is we also have, like, I've dealt with, I've seen how I've had a bad experience with a cop before, too. Because, matter of fact, I've had anxiety, and this guy I don't think was CIT trained. You can might as well see him on YouTube. He, I told him they called CIT for me because I was experiencing anxiety and I was shaking. And he came there, and he said, "Leave these people alone. Get your stuff and get out." And he got a, you know, and they never told me to leave. They never said anything, and they weren't. I wasn't trespassing, but on the YouTube video where this guy is trespassing in Charlottesville's post office, this same officer didn't come like that. He just said, "Hey, how you doing?" He even said, "I never said I'll make you leave this property," but he's shown on both cameras acting different. He's shown on the camera a different day, being more diplomatic with the guy that's trespassing and trying to cause conflict. But then he shows being an asshole to me when I'm needing help.
Right. Yeah.
And
sorry you went through that and everything.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 515-605-9802 is the number to call. When you call in, say your first name and where you're calling from. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking? I think this is Joyce from, hello.
Doris.
Welcome to the show. Joyce?
Yeah, I just called in. So Doris from Flint. I just called
in.
Oh, Doris.
Hi.
Yeah.
So I was just listening to what you were talking about. So that's all. I just got on. Okay. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. We're
talking
about a generational gap. Yeah. Go ahead.
I mean, generational gap. Well, right off the bat, I'm not sure what to talk about because
it has to do
with the elections. You know, how these politicians can break through to the different generations like Gen Z and, you know, the millennials and Generation X, how they can talk to them in a way that they understand, you know, that, so they understand what their candidate is trying to do for them, but yet the candidate needs to know what they want from him or her as well.
Oh.
And the different generations.
Well,
because
I guess
they all have. Yeah, the thing I'm thinking of is within Congress in Tennessee, those two Justins who got expelled from there in Tennessee not
yeah.
that long ago, and they were sent back. I thought there looks like there's an issue there, and
yeah.
I mean it just looked like a pretty blatant issue, but they got put back in, which I'm glad. And I'm also glad
yeah.
to see this Maxwell Frost, I think in Florida, that some of these young people are in, and we didn't have that before. So I'm glad
mm-hmm.
to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's all I wanted to say. Set up with a lot of these politicians that are doing nothing for their generation. They're feeling a lot of pressure. The ones that are going to college are in super deep debt, and you know
yeah.
things are very expensive, and they don't feel that their needs are being, you know, taken care of. So, you know, like was saying a minute
yeah.
ago, you know,
that,
we need politicians. That can,
what
we need politicians.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say we need politicians that can reach across and understand what each generation needs, and then, you know, go out there, and I think they need a team, and this team goes out and finds, you know, talks to these people and let them know what, like, President Biden will do for them, so
mm-hmm.
to make it easier.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when you said student debt, mm-hmm. I remember back in a 2000-something, I think it was that long ago, when they made a law, they passed a law that exempted all these other places from bankruptcy except for students.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be mostly young people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and President Biden's been working hard on trying to eliminate student debt. And if you all remember, the Republicans voted no, and he wasn't able to do it. But he was
right.
able to get through a little bit through a couple weeks ago. I can't remember the exact amount that it was, but he's been working on it ever since. It's not like, you know, they said no and then he just dropped it. He did not. He's been working
right.
on it ever since, you know, to get them some relief. And he has helped some. I mean, it's just sad that we have a society where these Republicans do not care about the American people. They don't care if they're suffering, if they're starving, if they're sick, if poor, if they're unhealthy. They don't care about any of it. You know, they only care
mm-hmm.
about
mm-hmm.
giving tax breaks to the 1%, and
mm-hmm.
you know, they want out of you know, for their needs, and you know,
mm-hmm.
to kill our democracy. Let's just put it out there. That's
exactly.
what they want to do.
Exactly. Okay, so
yeah.
Lauren, everyone, let's look at examples
mm-hmm.
of generational divide. Here are some
mm-hmm.
Examples of generational gap. Technology, while
mm-hmm.
Generation Z is dependent on texting to communicate, and members of Generation X may value a phone call more. You know, that's a difference there. Information sources,
mm-hmm.
older generations might prefer reading news from newspaper, while younger generations get their news from an app. You know, so those
mm-hmm.
little small differences, you know, short
mm-hmm.
differences between millennials and Generation Z with baby boomers. And this has been going
mm-hmm.
on a long time where millennials and Generation Z hate baby boomers. And I'm going to play a clip here. It's 4 minutes long. And we'll talk about it
yeah.
afterwards, after we'll come
mm-hmm.
back and everything. So the title
okay.
is Why Millennials and Generation Z Hate Boomers.
Lazy, entitled, stupid, selfish, dumb, crazy, lost, ignorant, spoiled, bad, sensitive, snowflake, annoying, fucked, and on and on and on.
That's how millennial and Gen Zers say they're routinely described, according to SUNY psychologist Carla Vermeulen, author of the new book, Generation Disaster, Coming of Age Post 9/11. Who can blame them for being pissed off?
One of the quotes that I used was someone saying,
I feel like our generation has been handed a bill for a party we didn't get to attend. So this is really one of the main sources of anger at older generations, at boomers in particular.
Younger Americans have been raised to believe that their leaders lie about everything, that the entire financial system existed to bail out big banks when they crashed the economy, that endless war is the natural state of things, and that they were about to be blown up by terrorists or shot during school at any moment.
I have a chapter in the book called Lockdown Drills in Kindergarten. They literally have had these drills the same way that we had fire drills.
Vermeulen's book looks specifically at people born between 1990 and 2001, but her conclusions are broadly relevant to folks under 40 or so. She says their fears are mostly overhyped. Our focus on statistically rare events such as school shootings have jacked depression, anxiety, and resentment through the roof.
The psychological effect of participating in these drills for young kids and, you know, kids writing wills for their parents and, you know, thinking they're literally going to die. And it's security theater. The disproportionate attention and resources that go towards preventing these highly, highly unlikely events relative to the more direct mental health stressors kids are actually dealing with.
But the biggest driver of generation disasters, stress and anger, says Vermeulen, are narratives about how climate change is about to destroy the planet in the very near future.
The world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change.
Whether or not you think that is exaggerated, this is the messaging that they've been receiving. And this is definitely the biggest source of anxiety for them. Like, I would say school shootings are kind of the most acute stressor for them. But their worries about climate change and the future of the planet is truly existential for them. They talk about not thinking that they won't be able to have children, or they don't want to have children because they don't want to leave them this planet that they've inherited. I think that what makes it so hard for them to deal with is they feel like there's so little they can do about it.
Baby boomers, who hated their own parents and used to shout slogans like "don't trust anyone over 30, should be able to empathize with how millennials and Gen Zers are feeling. We need to find ways of talking more productively across generations. Vermeulen says that the essential starting point is respect.
To the parents, I guess I would say, really listen to them. That, you know, a lot of them are delightful. They are creative. They are thoughtful. They are far more sophisticated than I was at their age because they've had all of this access to all of these resources, everything that they now have literally in their hand at their fingertips. And take their concerns seriously because they are valid in many ways.
I'll add to that, we need to have more fact-based discussion and take into account vast amounts of huge social, economic, and environmental progress that we either take for granted or politicians and the press ignore because it doesn't fit their agenda. Extreme poverty has been cut from 94% to 10% over the past two centuries. Education and literacy have skyrocketed. Racism, sexism, homophobia have all declined. Global life expectancy continues to increase, and democracy is on the rise. The 2018 UN climate report that supposedly claimed that the world is going to end in 12 years actually says nothing of the sort. Policy analysts such as Scott Winship note that 70% of American 30-year-olds are doing better than their parents were at the same age.
For a generation disaster, why are their parents or their grandparents having these negative reactions? Because, you know, you don't understand them any more than they understand you, but you could probably try that.
Every generation fights for its place in the world, and there's no question that the same boomers who once sang along to Bob Dylan's The Times They Are A-Changin' are incredibly slow to exit the stage and give anyone else a turn in the spotlight. There's no question that millennials and Gen Z are facing unique problems that...
You know, there is a communications difference between millennials and baby boomers and everything. And some of the questions that Generation X and millennials and Generation Z asking is, why is Congress so old? You know, they're not represented in Congress. This one congressman in Florida, he's a generation or a millennial for the first time, which is a good thing. But we need representation across the board, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll bridge that gap.
Yeah, I consider the generational gap just like the racial gap.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, I need to say something. I was watching, you know how I told you that you have, wherever you have young people, you have a lot of law enforcement?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a thing on True TV where there were these young people. They were respectful of the officer, and the officer was very nice. They were jumping off of a pier.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give the officer a hard time at all. But then there were these people who were – there were these adults, people that were older than the ones that were jumping off the pier. They were giving the officer problems. And basically, one of them was spitting on the officer, and the officer said, if you spit on me one more time, I'm going to spray the piss out of you. I don't F around with people that spitting on me. But the strange thing is he got along with the younger people than he did the people his age. Not got along, but the ones that were his age weren't disrespectful to him, and he wasn't disrespectful to them. And one of the guys had gray on him, but like I was, one of the things I found out that the people that these people police may not give you problems with the people that they don't police. Has anybody noticed that? That's with every demographic.
So what you're trying to say is that, you know, the older generation make no attempt to have respect for the younger generation. Is that gist of what you're saying?
No, I'm saying sometimes the people, like the people that are the police that police the areas with a lot of young people, they may have a problem with someone that's not in the group not in the group that they're patrolling it for. And that's the same with the generation gap. But I'm also saying that mutual respect starts young. You don't just give someone respect you don't mutually respect people, you know, when it's a certain time. You mutually respect people at any age. Like mutual respect. That's what I mean. But basically, the officer was nice to the teenagers. The teenagers were nice with the officers. But like I said, the people, one of them looked like he was older. The man that was drunk, the adults that were with the police officer that were giving them problems, he had a problem with the adults, but he didn't have a problem with the youth. So it's like lots of times the police, it feels funny how police patrol a lot of places where there's a lot of young people, and sometimes it's not the young people that give them the problems. Anybody notice that?
Yeah, it's just what happens.
Yeah.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
Like, even with racism.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. So, the generational divide in the United States Congress, as Generation Z enters the scene, there's this this article on Forbes magazine online that. After earning the Democratic Party's nomination in Florida's blue 10th congressional district, 25-year-old Maxwell Frost is likely to win the Orlando area, which he did. And he's the first Generation Z member of the U.S. Congress. So Frost, who campaigned on a platform of civil rights, Medicare for all, and marijuana legalization, was born in 1997, the earliest birth year for the generation of today's teens and 20-somethings, Generation Z. That's according to the Pew Research Center. At 25 years old, he has reached the minimum age of being able to hold congressional office. So the congressional divide in U.S. Congress, the silent generation, which is 1928 to 1945, take up the majority with 52%. Then you have baby boomers born between 1946 and 1964 that take up the second highest membership in the United States Congress. Generation X, 1965 to 1980, 34% of the Congress is Generation X, and millennials is just a mere 1% with this one guy and everything. So it's all well and good that this guy Frost came in as a millennial, and the youngest among them, the freshman Republican at the time, was Madison Cawthorn from North Carolina, a Republican, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. She has an ultra-progressive stance on issues. John Ossoff, United States Senator from Georgia, he is also a millennial. You know, so we have different examples of people coming in and trying to make a difference, you know, and trying to change the age groups within Congress, whether U.S. Senate or U.S. Congress, you know? So, you know, I think that's a good thing. And do you think the next election will, you know, have more of the generation or the millennials coming into office? Would that be a good thing? Or will the baby boomers think is a threat to their power?
No. I think it's a good thing. I truly do. So all of you remember David Hogg. He was David Hogg. He was one of the survivors with the Parkland shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he has he's very much into gun reform. He went to college at Harvard. He finished. And I just admire him because he's never given up. He's, you know, an activist. He's never given up on the fact that, you know, we need gun reform in this country. And he's now getting into, like you talked about, David, younger people getting into office. Going into office, and he's, I'm trying to find, he started an organization, and it is called Leaders We Deserve. And what they do is they go and they find different young people, and they get them to run for office, and, or, you know, if they're, of course. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to find people that, young people that want to run for office, and then they help support their campaign. And I think you mentioned in Florida, David, that one, he won that seat. Well, that was part of what David Hogg did. That was part of Leaders We Deserve. So I think it's a good thing that they're doing that, because we do need in the Senate and Congress, we do need in our government, we need people to represent all these different generations. We truly do. And they have a point there. You know, they have a point. I mean, AOC, yes, she's, you know, younger, but even younger than her, maybe. I don't know how old she is, but David Hogg is 23 years old. And I think he's accomplished quite a bit at 23 years old. I really do. I think he's...
AOC is 29 years old. AOC.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I said, that's what we need in this country. We need variety, you know, different ages, different ideas, you know.
Don't you think we're getting that variety, or what? Or is it that the younger crowd is impatient and they want to push the older people out of the way?
I don't think so much that they want to push older people out of the way, but there are some, and we know there are some that have been there forever, you know.
And who did they replace? Who did they replace? People that were their age now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
so it's a natural transition. I think when we start doing an election by XYZ, born, newborn, old born, I've been trying to keep up with your ages there, and I can't. I think what we need to do is we need to find leaders that will be kind and work with all ages, including the ones that are already there that can talk to them and explain to them how things are done. I don't want to see all of a sudden an outcry that we've got to replace everybody. Now, the Republicans have been replacing with younger people. Look what we've got. Matt Gaetz, Johnson, Burbette, or whatever the hell her name is, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, no.
That character from Ohio, the coach.
Yeah, I know. There's a group there.
I mean, you know, you can replace with younger people. We can replace it with that kook that the interview, the call man from the insurrection. He's mm-hmm. younger.
Mm-hmm. No, no, I understand that. All I'm saying is that we do need, you know, representation. And, yes, experience and wisdom is valuable. I mean, you can't put mm-hmm. a price tag, you know, experience and wisdom. You can't. You can't put a price tag on that. So, yeah, but I'm just saying, eventually, it's got to come because, you know, when you have these old, you know, 70 and not even 70, but 80-year-olds in there, they've been in there a long time. And, you know, eventually it's time. Maybe they can train some younger people. I don't know. But they need to integrate somehow so that, you know, they're going to take over the country eventually. That's just what's going to happen. And what we have
yes.
in there right now, I'm not seeing much, you know, as far as Republicans go that care about the younger generation or any of these generations or any of us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the younger ones the Republicans have put in, they're screwing everybody.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All the ones that I've named are younger.
But don't you think, Elaine, though, that there are also good people like David Hogg that's out there
Definitely. I think that it's a natural transition. I don't think it's something you can force.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about forcing. I'm just saying that that's what they're trying to do. You know, they're trying to build a younger population of, you know, people that can take over because it's going to come. I mean, it's just going to come of it.
Both parties have what is known as the young Democrats, and the Republicans mm-hmm. have the young Republicans. And
mm-hmm.
I was aboard politics, the young ones are now in their 60s.
Yep, exactly.
And they're at the time, there was a little bit of a cocky attitude, you know, like you old fart. And we were only maybe 10 or 15 years older than them. And some of us only 5 years older than them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I waited to hear all that was going on, and I was trying to figure out the different age gaps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand which one I fit into. I don't think I fit mm-hmm. into any of them anyways. I think it just comes along naturally. But we have to look for good leaders. And David Haas mm-hmm. is a good example.
Yeah. You know, there are some people that can, you know, be 85 years old and they think like, you know, they understand the young generations. They understand Gen Z. They understand the millennials. They understand what they've been, you know, go through. So, yeah, I mean, it's not rocket science. It's just a matter of communication. Communication is so important.
Right. That's what I think we need to do is we need to communicate with all of the age groups.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Laura and everybody, the woke revolution, do you think has it gone too far, the woke revolution? Because some people say the woke thing is dying and, you know, the woke mind is basically a virus, you know, and, you know, wokeness is just destroying society. And it's caused by millennials and Generation Z and what have you. They're offended by everything. You know, growing up, you know, we weren't offended so easily. You know, so do you think the woke culture has put a further rift between the generations? And do you think it's destroying society?
Well, I thought woke stood for understanding.
Not from the right.
No. Well, then I must have misinterpreted the term woke. I thought woke meant is understanding.
Well, I think
knowledge.
It is, but the point is, a woke, you asked them to define it. The right wing brought that word up. And
mm-hmm.
there you push them to define it, often they won't define it, but it's not a positive thing. Whereas the people that are, they say, yeah, we're awake. In other words, you hear the word woke and you won't hear anybody calling woke who's on the left or who's
mm-hmm.
a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
That comes from the
mm-hmm.
right. But I was going to say, we're talking about young people. AOC, she was 29 when she came into office. She's like 34 now, so she's still pretty young. But AOC
mm-hmm.
Came from not a wealthy family, born in New York, of Puerto Rican background, but she's born in New
yep.
York.
and her father died of cancer. And they were not wealthy people, but she, a lot of people don't know, there's an asteroid named after her that in the science fair, she did really well in science fair. In the past, she was very bright. She worked with Ted Kennedy for a while. But she beat like a 30-year incumbent from New York who basically kind of took the place for granted because nobody ever ran against him. And that was a shocker. And she won like by 57%. And she's a very accomplished person. But some people would say she's just a bartender. Well, she did do that, but I bet you every bartender didn't win the science fair and have an asteroid named after him.
Right.
See, that's the right, again, pushing a narrative. Instead of us talking back, we let them go until it's gone too far. I mean, from the first time the right called her just a bartender, whole Democratic Party should have been saying, this girl won an art fair or a science fair. This is the big thing that I've got against the Democrats. They don't know how to brag about themselves.
Well, we say that all the time, but they should be learning how to stand up and speak out for what they've done. Otherwise, you're not learning anything, you know.
That's
if you don't do that.
Hey, so another thing, because we have 10 minutes left and everything. So this reality TV culture, this subculture of, you know, influencers, you being famous for being famous. Do you think it says a lot, a negative about a society when you can have someone in a Kardashian family, you know, being famous? They don't sing, they don't act, they don't dance, and they're just, like, super famous. You know, we have Donald Trump with The Apprentice, and it ascended them to the presidency. What's your take on it, starting with Lori, you know, about how the reality TV culture has taken over America? Is it going to be the fall of the American influence around the world, or do you think it's a good thing?
Not necessarily a good thing, and I have to say I do not watch reality TV. I've never watched an episode of the Kardashians. If I have to tell you what they look like or what they're about, I have no clue because I don't care. And as far as reality TV, I think a lot of it is just mind numbing, you know, learn anything from it. It's just a waste of time. That's my opinion.
What about you, Elaine? What do you think about
that? I look at reality TV like everybody sitting around the Thanksgiving table, and somebody happens to talk politics, so you've got half the table with a frown on their face and the other half snickering, and somebody brings out a camera, and they all look up and smile. That's what reality TV is to me. You don't see the reality. When that camera turns on, that's all play acting. You know, are we going to be bitches today, or are we going to be nice and cook our kids, give them a bowl of tomato soup and a grilled cheese sandwich? That's how I review it. I watched Apprentice once, and Donald Trump back then made me disgusted. And he,
I know.
I've watched the Kardashians once. And you don't really want to know what I think of that. I'd probably get knocked off the air. And then I watched that Boo Boo Girl, and I wanted to smack her mother. She was a sweet little girl, but her mother was such an idiot. And then I watched the Crocodile People. I thought that was an absolutely stupid show. I mean, how many times are you going to see them get a crocodile? I think of reality TV. I really don't think the kids watch it that much. I really don't.
Do you know who the Kardashians' father, the father of the Kardashians was?
Robert Kardashian and the French law and the orgy or something.
Yeah, I thought, wasn't Bruce Jenner their stepfather?
Yeah, he left his family for them. Yeah.
Right. But their father, Robert, was, as you said, one of those in the defense of O.J. Simpson during that case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know how they came into fame, but he was somebody that was known a while back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they came to fame basically because Kim made a sex tape with the rapper Reggie. And, for educational purposes and research purposes, I watched about 5 minutes of it, and it wasn't anything stunning. You know, it's just a regular porn tape, you know? And for
who
the record,
that?
Yeah.
Who did that, made that tape, or that tape, or that you're talking about?
Oh, yeah, Ray J, he is the cousin of Whitney Houston, the brother of Brandy, the R&B singer, and he's a rapper in his own right. And, you know, so she made a sex tape to be famous, and it was quote-unquote leaked. And so, you know, she got millions of dollars out of that, and then the notoriety and then fame. And then the rest is history. Like I said, the Kardashians, they can't act, they can't sing, they can't dance. So they're basically known for a sex tape, and the mother is their pimp, basically, who, you know, paraded them out. You know, wearing the skimpiest things and what have you. To me, reality shows out there is just used to distract the populace. You know, because while we're having so much things now with Donald Trump and Republicans trying to, like, basically kill the Constitution and have an authoritarian state, you know, reality shows is just like a distraction, basically. And the weirdest one is on TLC, My Strange Addiction. I don't know if you girls ever seen it, where this guy is in love with his car. And makes love to his car and what have you. It's so bizarre, you know?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
I don't like The Bachelor either, The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. We've got the right wing talking about righteous things and being, you know, right and not doing bad things. Mm-hmm. And yet these girls go to bed with six guys and the guy goes to bed with six girls. I mean, come on, get off of it. I mean, it doesn't show me anything.
Yeah.
Well, I think the one that real success that Donald Trump had was on his own show,
The Apprentice.
What was it called? The Apprentice. Yeah, because he liked to say you're fired and had this image. And that, I mean, really, he got a lot of money from that, but he really didn't do that well in other ways for all the money he got, like $400 million or whatever from his father. So you ought to be real rich if you started out with $400 million. And he has to argue that he's a billionaire, and he hides that, and that was so important to him. But I think that $400 million to start, you could have invested and had a whole lot more.
What that did is that made him out to be something he's not. It didn't show that he was prejudiced. It didn't show that he was a bigot.
No.
It made him a fancy-ass, genius businessman, and he was none of those. And that is when he started running for office back in 2012. Already was dabbling in it. He already was putting his feet into it by saying, well, I might run as a Democrat, I might run as a Republican. That's when he started hobnobbing with politicians. That's when he claimed that Romney should scream and yell that the election was rigged. He even made statements that the election was rigged, that Romney should have won. So he started the narrative back then.
Yeah, he did. And
I think those reality shows are phony.
Yeah, I need short answers to this because we'll run out of time. Go ahead, make your point.
Oh, no, I was just going to say he also said that Obama was not an American citizen, and he never proved it. And, you know, you want to go after somebody continually? Where did you get that from? He was never really held accountable. You sort of let him get away with it. And that was starting in 2000.
Still
being held accountable, in my opinion.
Yep.
Short
answers to this, because we're limited on time. Do you think that this is the end of American influence around the world? Rome fell, you know, great society is felling. Do you think it's America's turn to fall now as a superpower and influencer around the world based on what's happening within the society?
A lot depends on how this war is ending, like in Israel and Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
The whole world is seeing a leveled place, and it's made us unpopular. And the United Nations is voting, you know, stop it and so on. And it's the U.S. that keeps the one that votes to let it go on. And we sent the mother, I don't know how many millions more dollars in military aid, but it's like 20,000 people now have been killed. And I really think Netanyahu, the beauty of this is he took a terrible tragedy on them by a terrorist organization, but he was able to turn that into, I believe, because he doesn't care about the Palestinians and he doesn't, you know, whatever, that you could slaughter as many people and use the argument of this horrible thing, and this is the only way you can get him rid of Hamas. And the people that are on the ground there, the doctors that are not even from there and the humanitarians, don't see it the way it's presented. That doesn't have to be the way it is. But he's getting away with it.
He's getting away with it.
Tragedy.
I think he's cut from the same cloth as Trump and Hamas and Netanyahu are cut from the same cloth. Netanyahu is using this so that he doesn't get thrown out of power.
And that has to be the last word.
I'm not saying Hamas is a good guy because he isn't a good guy either.
He's not. No, it's like the most of the people didn't like him before this happened. He was not popular even before then.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone, for calling in. We really appreciate your participation tonight and everything. Thursday night, we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about abortion rights and women's rights and everything. That's a big show coming up Thursday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. Be there. It's going to be a wicked, wicked good show. I hope you all could join us then. Okay, so this has been Kitchen Politics 123 for December 11th, 2023. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, David. This is Laurie Pickup from Michigan. We'll see you Thursday. And thanks, everyone, for calling in. It was a good show. And have a good night.
You too. Good night.
Good night.
Let me start here. Yeah,
I'm not good at defining woke. What is that? But yeah.
Woke is accepting everything that is evil. So, for instance, monster cans. Each line represents a six. So you got 666. And then if you look on the monster can itself, in the O of the monster, it has a cross, and it's got it represents the Antichrist. So when you drink it, you've got the cross coming down, and that's
wokeism, sort of in a nutshell.
Yes, in a nutshell, it's accepting everything that's evil as good.
Do you have another example of when you run into wokeism?
What they're doing with the schools.
Like,
and the children, and trying to indoctrinate them. I have a granddaughter who's 6 years old. And
you have a granddaughter?
Yeah.
Wow, you look great for having a granddaughter.
Thank you.
Tell me then, so what kind of indoctrination? I'm asking just for specifics.
I like to graduate high school in Stevens Point. I mean, I have it on my phone. It's talking about gender issues and issues that shouldn't even be discussed in school. And pushing young children, if it were up to my granddaughter, she would be a dog. And they would be letting her crawl around on the floor and identify as a dog. Until 2 weeks from now, then she'd be a cat. And they're letting children transition or telling them to keep it from their parents and pushing them to get gender reaffirming care and keep it a secret from their parents. That's not school.
And that's happening at school? There are cases specifically?
All over the United States. And we are fighting school boards left and right.
Wokeism, that's horrible. I mean, it's borderline mental issues, I guess I would say. I mean, if you don't know what you are and you can't see what's going on right now in front of our eyes, it's... something's definitely wrong with
I am woman, hear me roll. In numbers too big to ignore. And I know too much to go back and pretend. Cause I've heard it all before. And I've been down there on the floor. No one's ever gonna keep me down again. Oh, yes, I'm white. But if we need some more pain, if I pay the price, but look how much I gain. If I ask, I can do anything. I am strong. Cause it only serves to make me more determined to achieve my funds and goals. And I come back even stronger, not a novice any longer. Cause you deepen the conviction in my soul. Oh, yeah. Watch me grow, see me standing toe to toe, as I spread myself in arms across the land. But I'm still an embryo, with a long, long way to go, until I make my brother understand. I am invincible. I